Brian Kelsey spoke again during the audience discussion, which followed the presentations.
So I'm just going to speak to two issues generally in terms of things I've been waiting for somebody to say, and maybe should have dropped the hint earlier that somebody should say them, and that is, and I'm, I was just about to submit a column to the Free Press when Paul Havixbeck started speaking about reforming EPC the other day. And I was frankly stunned that, if I can wink here, that it wasn't made an issue by any other candidates in the in the previous election. In most U.S. cities and most Canadian cities, in fact, there's an investigation going on in the City of London right now around this, having a meeting of a constituted committee in confidence is illegal. There's an open meeting law in most cities, and yet our system is designed on this quasi-parliamentary model that really isn't appropriate anymore. There's four or five ways to fix that. I'm not going to list all of them here, but in terms of whether you just blow up the committee entirely or take away the pay or elect EPC members from council as a whole, there's a number of different ways to do that, and I will be, frankly, really depressed if there isn't at least one major mayoral candidate in the next election who doesn't have a comprehensive proposal to open up the system that way, because, frankly, the council could function. I've been in those meetings. The cabinet meetings, I've always compared them to being at the King's Head at 2 in the morning after last call, and the lights go up and you're still arguing, and that's how decisions are really made at City Hall in those rooms. But the other thing I also want to preach that I think certainly progressive and conservative candidates alike have really let the public down on in so many jurisdictions in the last few years. Now is the time for brutally open transparency. There are jurisdictions by law in Britain right now that are publishing every expense of every kind over $500. And I know some of you may think, then you're going to have crazy fiscally conservative groups pouring over and complaining about every expense. And that's true, but you're also going to have people like me are going to be in a position to say, well, this land was transferred at this value, and you're going to be able to follow the movement of assets. As I said earlier, we've had several deals have been done in the city in the last few years on the basis of confidential appraisals. One deal was conducted on the basis of an appraisal that was delivered by advisors that wasn't even in writing, so that we can't FIP it. So if any of you are backing any candidates who are preparing for the next civic election, I know it's not a popular issue right now, but if you make radical transparency rather than just mere general promises of transparency your philosophy, you know what? It's going to be harder to govern. Believe me, I've been there. But the long-term benefits in terms of credibility and fair process are going to far outweigh whatever hassles you might have once you're actually in the building.
The third expert panelist was Sherry Blake, a former University of Manitoba professor and lecturer who has advised community organizations on addressing city planning procedures.
I just want to follow up on Judy's 3 points. I'm not going to talk about all 3 points, but Judy, I actually think the problem isn't lack of planning capacity at the city. You could have as many planners as you want, but they're not doing their job. Just in the case of Armstrong's Point, for example, they had to make an enormous amount of effort. It took an enormous amount of effort and time to create the violations in the bylaw that they did. There were four. And break the City of Winnipeg charter. They also, those were the things that we could actually sue on, but the things that we couldn't sue on are really egregious as well, and they also took a lot of time to do these things. They faked a traffic study. They took 2 days to go out into the community, ignoring all of their existing reports and the application materials submitted by the developer. They ignored their own recommendations made by Public Works in 2008. They failed to make the committee aware of existing planning studies, one that was done in 2009 by a really good planner who used to work for the city. They accepted at face value the developer's statements despite ongoing evidence to the contrary of things that the developer said. They completely ignored the discrepancy in the submitted drawings. We provided them with the public works review. We provided them with the limitations of the drawings. They totally ignored everything that we pointed out to them, and then they made a huge effort to make it up anyway. So there's a much more fundamental and that goes also for the Victoria Park project as well, because, the Centre Venture executive director sat there and said, well, I've never seen that plan, yet it was a Center Venture plan. You know, there's a much more fundamental problem at City Hall that isn't going to be solved by hiring more people. There's some really, really bad stuff going on. Yeah. A greater problem that we came across in the case of Armstrong's Point was that the provincial court and the Court of Queen's Bench, as well as the Supreme Court, are now considering reasonableness as the standard rather than correctness. And one of my neighbors said to me, "Well, when does the law begin to count?" And we're really wondering that too. So I think that there's even a larger problem there. I was at an Idle No More symposium last week at the University of Manitoba. I learned a lot about Bill C-45 and all of the changes being made to the Indian Act, the Navigation Protection Act, the Environmental Assessment Act, the Species at Risk Act, the Fisheries Act, the Environmental Protection Act, that are going to impact all of us, all for the benefit of the oil and gas industry. And I began to realize this is exactly the same thing that is happening here in the city, that things are the changes to the law or the making up the law as they go along to benefit the developer is really a trend locally and nationally that I think we have to be building coalitions beyond the city.
For CKUW, this is Michael Welch.